Listless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, there is power in a well-timed word. And reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I'm wondering, do your words tend to build up or tear down the people you talk to? Do your words bring life or do they bring death? Do they bring hope or do they bring despair? Well, today Ken encourages us to use wholesome words, words that feed and nourish others.
Hello, everyone, and welcome aboard if you have just joined us for the second part of our talk on Watch Your Words. This is a practical consideration of not just importance, but the imperative of watching our words from the biblical perspective, based mainly on Proverbs chapter 10. And in the first part yesterday, I dealt with two of the five aspects that are to be found in Proverbs chapter 10, and they were the well of words and the worth of words. And these proverbs are worth repeating, and these are, first of all, Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And secondly, in Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. Now let's move on to consider the third aspect of the words of a righteous person. And this is found in the very next verse after the one we have read, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Now what I'd like to focus on this verse is the fact that the lips of the righteous feed many. So I'll call this aspect wholesome words, because the lips of the righteous provide a wholesome diet which feed other people. The words of the righteous are therefore wholesome words, which feed others and nourish others. They are words which build up and not put down. Here is another similar proverb in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, where it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. I like the way in which Proverbs recur in different parts to say the same thing in slightly different ways, so that it is reiterated and reinforced. Because most of us are duller in mind and spirit than we think we are, and we need a lot of repetition in not so obvious and slightly different ways to get at it so that it stays with us. And we are reminded without feeling that we have been nagged, and the truth stays within our radar screen so that it is in view all the time. And here in Proverbs 15:4, I have the word that I've chosen as the subtitle for this third aspect, wholesome words. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Here's a slightly different metaphor from the first one that we considered, which is a well or a fountain of life. But the idea is the same. A tree of life ministers life to others. And the righteous are truly trees of righteousness, trees of life, because they can minister out of the fruit of the Spirit which their lives bear. And when they exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, others will be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is described in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you substitute the descriptors of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit for wholesome words, that is what wholesome words sound like. They are words of love, they're words of joy, they're words of peace, they're words that are long-suffering or patient, they are kind words, they're words which bring goodness, and they're words of faithfulness. They are gentle words, and they're words which have self-control. If you have never heard or known what wholesome words are, then listen carefully to someone who is filled by the Spirit of God and who walks by the Spirit of God. And we often learn what a thing is as much by considering what it is not. Because although it is unfortunate, but it is true nevertheless, that we often encounter the negative demonstrations far more frequently than we do the positive demonstrations or manifestations. So in contrast, words that are not wholesome, they are poisonous and they are destructive. They crush or they damage sensitive spirits, which is what the second half of Proverbs 15:4 says. Perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So beware of perverse talk and words which break and crush the spirit. And wholesome words are especially needed for ministry involving speaking or counseling, the use of words. There is a real need for souls to be fed out of the abundance and the overflow of our own heart, as we have read right at the outset of this series in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 34, in the words of Jesus, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And remember, this is something that cannot be manufactured. It is not an artificial or contrived thing that we can pump up anytime we want. It is something that is part of the life as exhibited by a tree and its fruits. We cannot buy the fruit of the Spirit and hang them up like decorations on a Christmas tree, but they have to be the outgrowth of the life of the tree itself. Well, let's consider what's the opposite of wholesome words. Well, the opposite of this is a war of words, which we sometimes hear when a conflict of egos or wills break out. This is the kind of speech which leaves the others poorer. It leaves them impoverished or simply unfed and untouched. It leaves them no better than they were before. And clear examples of this are coarse talking and filthy language. Sometimes people take a very light view of using bad language or words. And they say, "I don't really mean it, it's just an expression." And people often get into this practice because they want to sound like the crowd. They want to be included and accepted. And they are easily influenced by others when they keep bad company. If you want to be amongst certain kinds of people, it's very hard to continue in that position unless you learn to behave like them and to speak like them and to dress like them. And often people underestimate the power it has on their lives. They think it's something that they can easily shake off as and when they want it. But very often they find that it is very hard to shake off what has become entrenched as a habit in their lives. And that includes the power of the foul tongue and bad language. Of course, if you're already hardened and desensitized to its use, then it has no effect on you. But never forget that it has a very damaging and deleterious effect on others and on the impression that you have on others. And remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, where we started out this series with, that a foul mouth simply is symptomatic of a foul heart or spirit. So be careful of the kinds of words you use, because you're just advertising to the world what you truly are on the inside. We have a number of New Testament exhortations regarding the use of words and language in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." There are five specific examples of the wrong use of the tongue in that verse in Colossians 3:8, and that includes the fifth one, which is filthy language out of your mouth, which you had been talking about. And we should put off all these manifestations of a wrong heart and of a wrong spirit, simply because we now have been given a new heart and a new spirit in Jesus Christ. Now notice, this includes the whole spectrum of negative speech, both as spoken before someone as well as behind someone. In other words, there should be no bad mouthing or backbiting. A very good practical guide is to just shut up if you have not got anything good to say about someone else, unless it serves to make the other better. Remember that gossip is the devil's radio, and you don't want to have anything to do with that. And we can be speaking unwholesome words in 101 different ways which are far less obvious to the outward eye. Listen to what Amy Carmichael said, that great spiritual woman of God and missionary who founded the Donavu Fellowship in India. She wrote, "If I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even in thought, then I know nothing of Calvary love." That is how subtle, unwholesome thoughts and words towards others can be. So back in the book of Colossians, in chapter 4, verse 6, it gives us the positive. So instead of polluting words or poisonous speech, it says in Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." In other words, the righteous should speak words that are gracious, words that are salted. Now, what does seasoned with salt mean? Well, it means to make your speech palatable. That's one thing that salt does. The other thing that it does is that it preserves. And the third thing that it does is that it is restorative. So let your speech be palatable. Let it preserve rather than destroy. And let it restore rather than breed further resentment. Now, it's interesting to note that it doesn't say make your words sweet, but rather make your words seasoned with salt. So we're not to just say sweet words which flatter others, but which are untrue. In fact, in Proverbs 28:23, it says, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue." So you don't want to be a smooth operator, you know, a smooth talker, someone whose words are smooth and sweet but lack sincerity. In Psalm 55, verse 21, we have a warning against such people in the same vein. "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." We often hear it being said, "I didn't really mean to say that," when something wrong has been said, in order to justify self, instead of saying, "I'm sorry for saying that," to rectify the error. Words have a very devious ways of justifying self and putting the blame on others. So let's be very careful and not trust ourselves so much. And let's pray like the psalmist did in Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." And by the way, the context of that is given in the previous verse, verse 2 of Psalm 141, and it's in the context of private prayer. "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So again, it underlines the indivisible link and connection between the interior and the exterior life. May the words of our mouth be acceptable not only to the Lord, but also to others. May they be words of grace seasoned with salt. So that's the third aspect, wholesome words. The fourth aspect is what I call wise words. And this is given to us in our chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 31, where it says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out." It may not be a literal cutting off of the tongue, but it certainly means that the words of the perverse will not stand. They will neither stand the test of time nor of truth. When the righteous open their mouth, their words are words of wisdom, which are spoken on a subject, and they address a problem or a person, and they speak to a difficult or a depressing situation. It sheds light on the right thing to do, and the words of wisdom give understanding on the true nature of things. When the righteous speak wise words, they are intelligent and they are insightful. They are discerning between the true and the false. And I think one of the best examples of this is the demonstration of God's wisdom through Solomon's wisdom in judging the case between two harlot mothers who had a dead baby and a living baby. And this is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. Both the mothers claimed that the living baby was theirs and that the baby that was dead belonged to the other. And these were the words of wisdom which distinguished the wisdom of King Solomon as peerless and incomparable. This is what King Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23. The king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other.' And then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.' And so the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him, for she is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment with which the king had rendered, And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. So that's a classic and powerful demonstration of what words of wisdom are and can do. But there are other verses in the same chapter, in Proverbs chapter 10, which also dwell on wisdom, for wisdom is a major theme in the whole book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction," or it invites ruin. And in verse 23, again, it says, "To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom." Now, if you dig a little bit deeper and dwell on these words of wisdom and try to mine the meaning of wisdom, you will get this composite picture. The ingredients of wisdom are as follows. It's understanding or discernment plus knowledge plus insight. So the words of the righteous are wise words in that they exhibit discernment, knowledge, and insight. But at the same time, they also bring to others understanding and knowledge and insight. Let me quote a couple of other verses on wisdom, since it is a major theme in the whole book of Proverbs. Here is another one, Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And this reminds us that such heavenly wisdom comes from knowing God and fearing God. That is where it comes from. It is not first of all an intellectual thing, but a spiritual thing. Here is yet another one, Proverbs 15, verse 1 and 2. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." Now, this is about wise and foolish talk. So it's wisdom brought down to a very practical level in the area of speech. And it brings in another factor. It has to do with not speaking harshly, but softly. So here is one specific and practical way of speaking wisely and not foolishly. You're wise if you speak gently and not roughly or harshly. Not every gentleman is a Christian, but all Christians should be a gentleman. Aggressive, abrasive, and abusive speech that generates more strife and anger are not becoming of a Christian. They provoke anger, and they stoke the fire by adding fuel to the fire instead of quenching it with water. To diffuse an explosive situation, we need to speak gently, but we can also speak firmly. We need to learn how to separate the emotional from the rational. And one glaring and memorable example of this from the Bible in the Old Testament is found in 1 Kings chapter 12, where we read of the folly of the young king Rehoboam, who succeeded King Solomon. He heeded the ill-founded advice of his younger contemporaries, who are a bunch of rude and crude rogues, rather than heed the advisers to his father. And he committed the folly of answering the people of Israel harshly. And you know what's the result of that? It was the tragic and historic split of Israel into two kingdoms from that point on, from which they never recovered. So here is one powerful illustration of how damaging and far-reaching the damaging and destructive effects of harsh, hasty, and ill-advised words can be. Dr. Alan Redpath, who was a British speaker and author of the last century, gave this very practical advice. Now, if you use this word as an acronym, THINK, T-H-I-N-K, to represent five basic questions that you would want to ask yourself as a self-check about the words that you are about to speak. T stands for, is it true? H stands for, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And he goes on to say, if what I am about to say does not pass those tests, then I will keep my mouth shut. And fifthly and finally, we have warm words. The words of the righteous should be warm words. And this is given in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Now this is about the righteous saying something which is acceptable and fitting. It is something helpful. something uplifting and inspiring and encouraging. It is what Isaiah describes as a word in season to him who is weary in Isaiah 50 verse 4. The words of the righteous are warm words in the sense that it promotes a sense of well-being. Here is a corresponding proverb in Proverbs 25:11, where it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Have you ever been on the receiving end of something like this? Or have you ever said something like this, which is exactly right for the occasion and for the person? Now, once again, this is not something that we can think about ahead or contrive. It just has to come through the overflow and the abundance of our hearts as we walk with the Lord. And the opposite of this is saying what is insensitive or inappropriate or unhelpful. Remember, there's great power in a good or a kind word to lift spirits or to sway opinions or to steer the course of history. It costs very little, but it contributes very much. Proverbs 12:25 says this, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good or kind word makes it glad." And this requires a patient and sensitive listening. It's not so much talking to the person as with the person, because the object is to help the other feel better and not yourself. Let me close by quoting a prayer, and we can make this our closing prayer, by a man called Dr. Peter Marshall, who was a Scottish-American preacher of the last century, who twice served as the chaplain of the US Senate. "I need thee, O Lord, for a curb on my tongue, where I am tempted to make carping criticisms and cruel judgments. Keep me from speaking barbed words that hurt, and in which I find perverted satisfaction. Keep me from unkind words and from unkind silences. Restrain my judgment. Make my criticisms kind, generous, and constructive. Make me sweet inside, that I may be gentle with other people, gentle with the things I say, kind in what I do. Create in me that warmth of mercy that shall enable others to find strength for their weakness, thy peace for their strife, thy joy for their sorrow, thy love for their hatred, thy compassion for their weakness. In thine own strong name I pray. Amen." And I trust you have been refreshed by God's presence and reached by His word.
And that is a good word that bears repeating. To diffuse an explosive situation, ask yourself if what you are about to say is true. Is what you are about to say helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If what you are about to say doesn't pass that test, then keep your mouth shut. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, and I invite you to join us again next time when Kenneth brings us another reflection from God's Word. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. Simply send him a text message, 94313813, or write to him at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915714, and visit our Facebook page. There you can get the latest updates, you can leave your views and your comments right there on our Facebook page. You can also visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen to the program online, or you can download the program through our iPhone app. It's available to you, and it will allow you direct access to the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.